Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour. And just a second, I have to adjust my sound a bit here. Okay, try this again. James McCanny with my Science Hour, April 5th, 2012. Wow, a lot of interesting topics to cover tonight. And one of the main science topics, I will be talking about the strange condition in these Texas tornadoes. Now, I know that there have been people on radio shows claiming that these tornadoes are man-made, that they're made by the government, and it's a conspiracy so that the people will plead for the government to please take over the weather and be in control. I have a bit different analysis on this, and I knew this would be coming. And if you look at who is saying this, these are government people making these claims, long-term government, let's say, employees. And so you look at the source, these people don't change, and they're not allowed to change. They're not allowed to come out and say this kind of stuff. But the real story is, in my analysis, that this message that the government is in control, remember, they always got to appear to be in control. And my analysis is what's been going on, and I'll make an analysis of the entire world weather situation, not just what's going on in Dallas. The last week, the sun has just been exploding with power. Five major CMEs, a complete halo, full halo CME, which is where the entire surface of the sun explodes, not just one little spot or one little sunspot, but the whole surface of the sun lifts off in a massive explosion. You get these now and then, and they're rather rare even during solar maximums. We're nowhere near the solar maximum, but we have had five in the last 5 days, basically. And these are coming out to Earth. We have very strange solar conditions. I'll be talking about those. But the entire world is exploding. Very rapid, major storm conditions. We have probably 10 hurricanes on the planet right now, extending from the North Pole to the South Pole. And I will talk about those individually. So quite a bit to talk about. So the issues in Texas are just actually compared on a world scale to the other storms that are going on. The issues in Texas were rather small. So anyway, this is the problem that the public faces. When you have non-technical experts, so-called experts on radio shows, who don't know what they're talking about, but they're coming in from another angle, it becomes very obvious that the government is throwing these people out there. And I'm specifically talking about the Alex Jones show the other morning. And I'll be honest with you, I think Alex puts out a lot of good information, but my opinion, I'll put it that way, is that his show is completely controlled, and that his show is used, you have to have good bait to catch fish. That's so, of course, there's a lot of good information out there, but when the chips are down and when the powers that come in want to put information out, they'll use his show to do it. And excuse me for saying that, that's just the way I see things, and I'll be blunt about it. And so when someone comes on that show and starts talking about the government controlling weather, and so that the government will take over the weather, and you look at the history of the person saying that, somebody who's worked in government for all their life, I'm sorry, but I'll look for a different, I'll read between the lines, let's put it that way, from my point of view. But here's the problem, that with the government doing that, they always have to appear to be in control. And here's the problem, because then the people will say, well, okay, control the weather. But the real weather is way beyond more powerful than anything they can deal with. It's like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain and saying, don't mind that man over there, just remember that the wizard is all powerful. And that's what's going on here. We have exactly the Wizard of Oz situation. But here's the situation in reality for them. That when this weather continues and the people are going, okay, well, if you can control the weather, go control it. And they can't do it. And the weather keeps pounding down. And it's one thing to create weather and use Mother Nature and pull the trigger on existing energy sources and create weather. That's called weather creation, or weather manipulation is a better word. In there, of course, people talk about HAARP all the time. I've pointed out that the satellite laser systems, the satellite laser technology, is what's being used more than HAARP. HAARP is old technology. And so the lasers being used to trigger existing energy sources from the ionosphere and drive the weather systems in the troposphere. But the point is that it's one thing to create weather or manipulate weather, but when the sun and the solar system is kicking up and has tremendous power coming in to our planet from solar conditions, to stop the weather from happening is a whole different ball game. So I'm glad people listen to this show for a real analysis. Let's say that this scenario plays out, and this guy is making a claim for the government, and they're going to control the weather, and G. L. Gord invented the internet too. Yeah, and the sky is purple too. Excuse me, but when the government makes this claim, and it has been made to the public that the government can control the weather, that would imply, too, that they can stop weather from happening. And that's a whole different ballgame, folks. And that's why when you have a non-expert that doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't know the industry, and is out there shooting his mouth off on a big national radio show, the flip side of that is, okay, Mr. Big Government Honcho, start stopping the weather. Do you see what I mean? Okay, stop the weather. Okay, we're all going to sit back and watch. And if that were the case, why didn't they stop the Texas tornadoes? He's saying they caused them. Okay, well, I'll be showing why. Okay, maybe they did pull the trigger on that. It's hard to say without being right there with good equipment to detect if the weather control, the weather manipulation systems were actually working that area at the time. That's one issue. But right now, I may as well go into this right now as long as we're talking about it. Let me pull up my world weather. This is a video I have of the world weather all over the world from the last week, and I'm sitting here looking at it on one of the computer terminals in the studio. So I'm going to go through this worldwide. And this is, remember, as the Texas tornadoes were occurring. Okay, well, I'm just going to start from one side of the globe. Let's go from the north. Okay, at that same time, there was a hurricane in the sea north of Scandinavia, crossing the Arctic Circle, moving in an easterly direction. There is almost formed into a hurricane, but moving up the east coast of the United States, out in the Atlantic, about 400 miles offshore. There's a hurricane structure that started around about North Carolina and moved all the way up past Nova Scotia. Then, well, of course, we have the Texas basically hurricane. And now those were part of a hurricane that actually rolled through the southwestern states. The center of that storm moved through New Mexico, up through Colorado, and Arizona. And one of the arms of that hurricane was the part that threw those tornadoes, which is typical of a hurricane, the tornadic activity that is out in the far reaches of the arms. There's another cyclonic type storm, didn't reach hurricane proportions, that moved into the western coast of Canada. and almost into Alaska. There's another storm right now that has moved up. It actually started between Japan and the coast of China and Taiwan, moving up and between Japan and the coast of China, and then also Russia, and is moving as we speak into the Kamchatka Peninsula of Upper Russia. Okay, now I'm going to go down to the there's another storm that's farther out in the Pacific Ocean north that is formed kind of off that same system. It kind of branched off that system and moved from Russia over and is right now moving towards the Aleutian Islands. Okay, those are hurricanes in the North Hemisphere. Now let me go down to the Southern Hemisphere. There is a hurricane structure that's moving in the deep South Pacific, moving. Well, it's just in the deep South Pacific. Let me give you a somewhat of a location, since there's no land mass out there, due south of the Hawaiian Islands, but down on the Arctic Circle in the south, the Southern Arctic Circle. There's literally a hurricane down there out in the middle of the ocean. Probably not a lot of activity down there. There's no land down there to speak of. There's another one that ran through the Straits of Magellan here over the past days. There's another one of that same system. It broke into two that's moving out. And here again, this is in the southern Atlantic, way down there. In the middle of the ocean, I would say take a beeline between South America and Africa, take the midpoint and go straight down to the Arctic Circle. And once again, this is out in the middle of the South Atlantic. There's a hurricane. There's another one off the coast of Antarctica, which is about south of Madagascar. There's another one that's forming it's about 700 miles south of a line between Madagascar and Australia. Another hurricane structure there. There's another one that's forming, it's a rather broad one, south of New Zealand down on the Arctic Circle. These are borderline hurricanes that are around the world. Okay, now I'm going to talk about the mid-latitudes. A tremendously powerful, okay, on the scale of what happened in Texas, I would say this is about 100 times more powerful group of storms moving into Malaysia. Into Malaysia, into that whole area. It's moving westerly in the South Pacific. Southern China and Vietnam have experienced massive storm systems. On the scale of what moved through Texas, I would say this was about 50 times as powerful. Looking at, here's Madagascar. A tremendous storm has developed on the western coast of Madagascar, and it's just kind of sitting there. Tremendously powerful lightning storm. Okay, looking through Central Africa, we have, just a second, I have to check my recording controls here. Okay, back to the Central Africa. Central Africa is just exploding with tremendous thunderstorms moving out into the Atlantic. And once again, comparing this to the scale of storm that passed through Texas, I would say this is about 20 times as large. Okay, looking into South America, Brazil, where Brazil meets Paraguay and Argentina on the eastern coast, a place where we don't normally see these kind of storms coming up through that resort area in southern Brazil. Tremendous, tremendous storm system, which was on the wing of one of those hurricane systems that I spoke of earlier down in the Arctic Ocean. These are very large-scale systems. The Hawaiian Islands, there's a massive storm system that developed recently just in the last number of hours just west of Hawaii. and is moving in an easterly direction towards Hawaii. Now, mind you, that is in the opposite direction of the typical storm movement in the Hawaiian Islands. As a result of these storm systems, the same storm system that I talked about in Malaysia has two legs. One of them wraps all the way over to Tahiti, and then a second leg of that is simply out in the middle of the ocean, moving over towards Easter Island. Now let's talk about South America. The entire northern half of South America, let's say from, and actually this includes Central America, from around southern Mexico, the Yucatan Peninsula, all the way down through Bolivia. And once again, the storm system's moving in an easterly direction there, which is opposite the normal seasonal flow to the west. So the world is bonkers with storms. And I have not talked about now southern Europe. Spain has gotten some activity, not as heavy. But this is all at the same time as the Texas tornadoes. On the scale of the world weather scale, the Texas tornadoes were teeny. And we think of them as, wow, massive, 400 homes destroyed. But and it was a very big system. There were hundreds of tornadoes that went through Texas. So on the scale that we typically think of, the Texas tornado systems were big. But on the world scale, it was a pinhead in a of a system compared to what the rest of the world is doing weather-wise. So, like I say, when you get these pseudo-experts on big radio shows shooting off their mouth and saying that the government should come in and control the weather, I don't care Obama or whoever you think you're talking about is going to do this, but the world is just exploding in all over the place with severe weather, much more severe than occurred in Texas. So now, Mr. Big Government Honcho, shooting off your mouth on Alex Jones' show, how are the government people going to control all this weather all over the world? And the answer is, they can't. It's the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain making a big... They always have to sound like they're in control. And so I love when these non-experts get on and shoot off their mouth, because it takes about a New York second to see through it and to tell what's really going on here. Can the government control weather? Of course they can. They have been able to for a long time. Is it HAARP? No, HAARP is old technology. They got much better methods of doing that now, including laser technology. Are they causing all the weather in the world right now? No. It's very definitively caused by the solar conditions. What's causing the solar conditions? The comets from the south that have been just streaming into the sun. There haven't been any comets from the sun over the past week that I have seen. But the end effect, understand that these effects last a long time. I'm going to go into a bit of analysis here of the comet Hale-Bopp that ran through the solar system in the mid-1990s. It pumped up the solar energy. It was in the solar system for a period of 6 years in the inner solar system. And I hope many of you were able to go out and see this comet, because in the scale of big comets, it was a baby. It was not a big, big comet, the kind that were spoken of in the ancient texts, in the Colbran, in the Bible, which has been very much changed over the years, and much of this material removed. Once again, I did that 2-CD series, one of my latest contributions. It's a 2-CD series on the physics of ancient celestial disasters. And two of the lectures in there, it's 18 hours of lectures, but two of the lectures, one of them is on the Noah flood and one is on an event that occurred thousands of years later, which was the Moses event very much the result of celestial cosmic activity, specifically comets coming through the solar system, not crashing into Earth, but causing effects. And I guarantee you that a lot of those effects were caused by the comets interacting with the Sun, not necessarily directly with Earth, although direct Earth exchanges were definitely recorded there. But what we are seeing here, folks, including the storms in Texas, this is a worldwide phenomena. It has been going on for some time. The storms now are just amazing levels. Let me compare the level of activity in South America. There are two major storm centers that span about a 1,000-mile area each in rolling through South America. Let me compare those to the Texas tornadoes system. And I would say that on that scale, what's going through South America right now is about a good 50 times. It's kind of comparing to the China activity, about 50 times what happened in Texas. But remember that for some odd reason, they don't see the tornadic activity in South America. Most of the tornadoes in the world, oddly enough, are in the United States. It's rare that you see tornadoes in other countries, although London has had tornadoes and just surprised people. So tornadoes can happen in other places. As I said, the Malaysia systems that are moving westerly towards Malaysia right now, easily 100 times more powerful in those systems than in the Texas system. I'm seeing one small system here moving over to in Malaysia here, just one small system that would equal the Texas system, and that's just a teeny part of that big, massive first Malaysian system of weather. So at any rate, what is causing this? The sun is causing this. And I guarantee you the government millboys don't control the weather on the sun. So what I see is happening is they have to come out with some kind of statement to the public. You have a big portion of Texas, and remember, a lot of the tornadic activity, they're concentrating in the news on what hit Dallas in that region. I forget the name of the town that was heavily hit in the Dallas region, but all of Texas had hundreds of tornadoes rolling across it. But because Texas is a big open state, a lot of those tornadoes did relatively little damage. And I'm sure there's a lot of ranches out there that are picking up the pieces as I do this show. So I'm not trying to minimize the damage that happened to those people, but the news media is trying to cover the damage done to the city, the urban areas. And wow, there were some amazing, beautiful homes destroyed by those tornadoes, by that tornado system. But did the government do this? Well, if they did, all I can say is they really didn't have to do that because these storm systems were there on their own. Why would you take a storm system that was already developing hundreds of tornadoes and cause tornadoes? It doesn't make any sense. So this joker on Alex Jones, let me tell you, this guy is about as full of BS as I can imagine. And it doesn't take but a New York second to pick it apart. And that's what I say. Beware of people who are pretending to be experts. And I don't like to pick out other radio broadcasters like this, but when this happens, and on a show that's that big, they should find out, get some expert opinions before they put these people on the air. That's all I can tell you about that. I won't bring that up anymore, but the real situation. Now, let me go into some of the solar conditions and go into some real specifics here of what has been happening over the past week with the sun. In fact, I should go back and review since October. And I remember this all started, actually. I got a call from the Coast to Coast show, and they said, can I be on and do some analysis of the weather? This was in late October of last year, 2011. And I said, sure, that's something that happens regularly. And so in doing my pre-show homework, in right, you know, 5 minutes before the show, I did my homework, and then always right before the show, I do a final analysis, and just in doing that, I saw a comet streaming in towards the sun. And this was a big comet, and I thought, wow, this thing is, it's on a beeline to the sun. And within hours of doing the show, that thing will be hitting the sun, and in that zone where it's approaching the sun, it's going to be interacting electrically with the sun, that spark plug effect, and we're going to be seeing some major league solar activity, and that could affect Earth. And so anyway, I mentioned it on the show. And as that show happened, minutes later, NASA brought down the SOHO feed and all the satellite feeds that we have visibility of the sun. And I thought, well, gee, that's pretty strange. So I went back early in the morning, and the feeds were still down. Early into the next morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, the feeds were still down. And I said, they pulled the feeds because the sun is going bonkers. And so then the next day, spaceweather.com, which is a government mouthpiece for NASA and what the government wants to say about weather, came out and said there were some massive CME activity. There was some massive CME activity on the sun, and they did not say anything about the comet coming in. And so I kind of exploded on them. I said, "What are you doing? You're hiding the data that NASA." And I said, "Go back to NASA and demand that they release the feeds of that comet coming in." And luckily, I had captured that, so I had the data, because I know sometimes they like to pretend things didn't happen. So anyway, the whole weekend went by, and they didn't restore the feeds. And so by that time, the entire internet was abuzz, and these were big, big solar storms. And so here's Space Weather saying, yeah, we had these big solar storms, but they were hiding the data that the comet had caused it. And you could see the snap between the comet, that electrical discharge, and then the big flares coming out of the sun. I think there were 3 massive solar flares. And so anyway, I went back on Coast to Coast Monday night and reviewed all of this. And by then, it was all over the internet that NASA and spaceweather.com had hid the data and were just trying to pretend that the sun did this all by itself. So then the plethora of NASA outreach and naysayers come in, the NASA mouthpieces that, of course, don't work for the government but are paid for the government, or Discover Magazine or whoever. And, oh, no, that was just coincidence. That comet just, there was just coincidence that the comet happened to be there at the same time as these flares came out. And ever since, we have had about on the rate of 1 per week, a comet coming in from that southern region of the solar system and interacting with the sun. And it's gotten so blatant that NASA and the National Weather, well, the National Weather Service, they're oblivious to everything. But the NASA and the space weather contingency that worked for the government have been soft-chewing it and dancing around that issue to the point where they're just saying, oh, that comet just happened to be there. And so we've had dozens of these. We had Comet Lovejoy that went through the sun and came out the other side. Remember that comet? I did many shows on that. And we saw the nucleus of the comet, much, much bigger, way bigger than any planet Mercury ever could think of being. And, of course, NASA saying that that was a 600-foot-wide ice ball. How absolutely absurd and ridiculous. Now, imagine, I have to explain a little bit of the solar conditions, and I've done this on the show before, but just talking about Comet Lovejoy near the sun. Imagine something 600 feet wide. This is about 2 city blocks long, they're saying, and it's made out of ice. I want to give you a glimpse of the conditions of the solar wind in the region of the sun. Now, imagine a fire hose, okay? A fire hose that has water coming out of it. Okay, now take a fire hose with the pressure of a fire hose and multiply it by 1,000. We're talking the velocity, we're talking the pressure. So only the velocity and the velocity of the water coming out of the fire hose. Multiply that by 1,000. Okay, now do this. Multiply the temperature of the water coming out of the fire hose. And that's a great example because what's coming off the sun is basically hydrogen, which is a component of water. And so, but basically you have a concentration that's about equal to a fire hose in one of these, in the solar wind that's coming directly off the sun. Now multiply the temperature of the fire hose is about room temperature, let's say about 25 degrees centigrade. Okay, let's go up to 6,000 degrees centigrade. We're talking hot. We're talking tremendous pressure. Okay, now take your 600-foot ice ball, NASA, Mr. Space Scientist, Astronomer, whatever, and put this in a fire hose that is as big as the sun with 1,000 times more velocity on the water coming out and going from room temperature, 25 degrees centigrade, to 6,000 degrees centigrade. And let's watch what happens to your 600-foot ice ball. Now, the thing came out the other side of the sun, and the scientists were all real surprised. And when it came out the other side, now the people on the street, people with their, just by looking up at the, where the sun had not come over the horizon yet, they could see the nucleus of this thing with the naked eye. Now, let's really review this. And this is how ridiculous things are getting. The only problem is there are people out there who believe this, but there's less and less people who are believing it. So the sun has been pounded on a weekly basis by comets from the south. These are not little comets, they're big. The nuclei are significant objects. NASA and the space science and astronomy guys there claim that this is due to a comet that broke up 150 years ago. They were studied by a guy named Crutz. And so why is this stream of comets coming in from the south? Well, what happens with comets? They develop what are called meteor streams. They're streams of matter which, according to ice ball theory, they break off the comet, but at any rate, there's no question, what I say is they are attracted to the main nucleus in proportion to the size and the electrical charging on that nucleus. And these objects contain metals. It's the induced electric dipole force which draws these in and, like a cosmic vacuum, sucks them along the path of the comet. So back in history, sometime in history, there was a major comet that followed a path, probably coming in fairly close to the sun, and then whipping out and going out again. But this would be a comet that's in a periodic orbit. And we don't know what that is, but I bet you the guys at NASA maybe have seen some things like this with their Hubble Space Telescope. Can those people see these objects? Well, of course they can. NASA just released an image of the galaxy, of the Milky Way galaxy, with billions and billions of stars in the picture, visible in the picture, distinguishable in the picture. And people were lauding this as a tremendous achievement. So do you think that they can see something like a major Planet X type object out there, or the many Planet X objects? And do you think that they can see all of these comets before they come into the inner solar system? Let's take an analysis of Comet Lovejoy. Comet Lovejoy was discovered, it has the name Lovejoy because it was discovered by an Australian amateur photographer. His last name was Lovejoy. And he just happened to discover it minutes before it came into the, or just hours, I should say, I won't exaggerate, but hours before it came into the view of the SOHO camera. Well, do you think that NASA saw that thing coming or has been observing that region of the sky so that they know when all these comets are coming in? Well, of course they have been. Comet Lovejoy was a major league big comet, but it's coming from that southern view of the solar system, which is not visible. It's not visible because the southern hemisphere was in basically summer. It was in their summer season, or let's put it into kind of early fall, possibly. And so that's the only reason why this Lovejoy person was able to detect that comet. It was the only reason he was able to see it, because, and then just in the very early morning sky, because the world is finally getting around to the point where they get a little glimpse of that southern portion of the heavens, of the celestial sphere. And then weeks later, another comet came in, and so NASA discovered that one with the SWAN camera on the SOHO satellite. The SWAN camera is a camera which faces back. The SOHO satellite has all of its cameras trained on the sun, but they have one camera that's mounted on there that looks back to the solar system, and it's kind of a fisheye camera with a detector on it, and it has a SWAN filter, which is what it allows you to see is the ionized water in a comet. So if there's a comet out there moving, that camera will pick it up. Well, clearly, they discovered Comet Lovejoy long before Mr. Lovejoy ever discovered it, but they didn't say anything about it. They're about as mum, cards to the chest, as they can be about comets coming from the south. And when they appear and they're visible, they just go, oh, there's another one. There's another one that just happened to be there when the sun exploded into a tremendous explosion. So you can see what's going on. Now they have somebody who's not a scientist, not an expert, not a has no knowledge of scientific issues regarding weather, or very little at best, trying to say that the government controls weather, and that we should be begging the government, or not that we should be, that it's a conspiracy, that the people will beg the government to control the weather. As I said, controlling the weather and creating storms is one thing, but controlling the weather and stopping weather from happening is a whole different ballgame. Trying to undo the big storm and energy systems that nature is throwing at us is not something those clowns can do, I guarantee you. So this sounds like a last-minute ditch effort by the government to pretend like they have control. Because as soon, and this is, I've said it over and over again, as soon as the public wakes up, and weather is going to be our indicator here on this planet that major issues are starting to pop out there in the solar system. The weather is going to be our first indicator, and when the public wakes up and starts to understand that this is happening and that the government does not have control over this, the government, and when I say government, I'm not just talking about the U.S. little President Obama guy who's just a marionette of the world leaders. I'm talking about the people who control the banks, the banking community of Europe, which controls our government basically through the Fed and through the release and the control of the economy. One of the Rockefellers once said that, let me control the money in the country and I control the country. And that's the way it is. Money moves everything. Everything moves for money. Everybody chases money. Not everybody, thank goodness. A lot of people that listen to this show are not chasing money anymore, and I appreciate that, because you're realizing what's going on out there. But most of the world is still chasing the yen and the dollar and the franc and the whatever, the euro, or whatever monetary system they have there. Most people are still chasing that. And that gives control to the world leaders. As long as you can think that having a 40-hour-a-week job is the biggest thing on the planet, and the stock market crashing is a cyclical event and nobody has anything to do with that, as long as they can convince you of that, or that the housing cycle is a some kind of a natural cycle and you lost your house just because of a natural cycle, no, that's not the truth. But as long as they can convince the massive amount of the public of that, they can remain in power. But when you start talking about world-scale issues, when you start talking about tornadoes, hundreds of them rolling through Texas and destroying a part of Dallas, the government, they're starting to lose their edge, and they know that, so they got to throw somebody out there saying, well, the government did it, and implying that the government is somehow in control. But that's going to be short-lived because, as I said on this show, that's why I did this show about the weather. That's why I took the entire first part of the show to describe the weather systems around the world right now. And I guarantee you that the little mill boys out there with their little satellite toys did not, or HARP or whatever they want to claim, did not cause the world weather going on. And as I said, the Texas tornado system was teeny weeny little compared to what's going on the world scale. But in terms of what we normally see, it was big. But you don't see that on the evening news. You're not going to hear this on the evening news or on the big daytime talk shows. I'm sorry, but that's just the way the planet spins. So at any rate, I think I've made my point with that. Just a few more mentions of what's going on with the sun. Over the past days, we have been in a serious magnetic reversal. And so what does that mean? That means that the solar wind is able to come in at the blocking magnetic field that we have, which has its north pole. The north pole of the Earth magnet is north, just like the north and south. The magnet is positioned with the celestial or axial north pole of Earth. And so that has an assistant in outer space. It's called our geomagnetic field, which has a coupled magnetic field. It has actually many coupled magnetic fields, which one of them is in the ionosphere. We have multiple rotational current belts in the ionosphere. We have the Van Allen belts, which are coupled to that. And then out farther, we have the space sheath that is a coupled with the what happens, the magnetic or the solar wind comes in from the sun. It's a mixture of protons and electrons. When it encounters Earth's magnetic field, the protons go one way and the electrons go another way around the Earth. And so what that creates is a battery. All of this is explained in my weather book. And that battery can expand and contract. So it's during these times of rapid change. And right now, that remember I talked about the fire hose? In technical terms, that's called dynamic pressure. The dynamic pressure of the solar wind has been changing very rapidly over the past day, which is what is causing these weather systems all over the world. It's that pulsing, that very rapid pulsing of that battery caused by the splitting of the solar wind. And the other thing that is happening is that the magnetic field of the solar wind is opposite, is southerly, and it's very strong southerly. And so it opposes our magnetic field. So what happens is the blocking magnetic sheath that blocks the solar wind, that separation of electrons and protons, now is not happening. There is the magnetic field of the solar wind itself is opposite and of the same strength as the magnetic field of the Earth. So what's happening is it's completely broken down our magnetic sheath, and the electrons and the protons are coming in much closer to Earth, a lot of them penetrating all the way to the upper atmosphere. That creates X-rays and high-level radiation up in the upper atmosphere, and that is causing a radiation storm on Earth. And, of course, you don't hear anybody talking about that at the same time we're having this worldwide weather. So you should be wearing your thick lead cap around with your shoulder, lead shoulder pads. But nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the fact that airlines, especially up in the northern and very southern latitudes, are receiving excessive doses of x-rays, anybody on those airplanes. So not hearing about that on the news at all. Why would they say that when they're saying that the government controls the weather? Now, let me give the flip side of this also, because we're getting mixed signals coming out of government entities. This is at the same time when NASA scientists are saying we're heading into a very early solar maximum. And we are headed for a solar maximum, but it's not going to occur until about the year 2014, another good 2 years away. And so what's going on right now is a very early rise in the solar activity, but it's very much attributable to comets from the south. You see what's going on. The reason I was talking about Hale-Bopp earlier, because in the 1990s, its electrical connection to the sun, which was constant on a daily basis, discharging the solar capacitor, pumped up the sun on a daily basis. We saw typhoons down in the South Pacific with winds of over 300 miles an hour, things that have never been clocked on Earth before by modern measuring devices. 300 plus mile an hour winds, they couldn't measure them, they were so strong. That was a result of Hale-Bopp. Another result of Hale-Bopp was that the last solar maximum, which occurred around the year 2000, had a double peak. It maxed, it started dropping off. The scientists said, okay, the maximum is over, we're dropping down. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it goes again. And the sun had a double solar maximum. Why? Because of Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp had pumped up the sun, and discharging that solar capacitor drove a lot of energy into the sun. Well, what was the flip side of that? Okay, as we did finally come into a solar minimum, it pushed that solar minimum out by a couple years, and when we did drop down to a solar minimum, we were well over 2 years, almost 3 years, without a single sunspot, never recorded in history before. And so I said then, this is interesting, because when this thing rebounds and we start coming back to the next solar maximum, it could drive it through the ceiling on the other end, being like any kind of cyclic, like a drum head, so to speak, vibrating. If it goes way down, it might come way back up. If this is a vibrational type of activity with the solar, with the sun. So at any rate, we could be heading into that, but we're getting some help from the comets from the south. And I've been watching for those, and like I say, there haven't been any over the last week. But when one of these activates the sun, a lot of the residual energy from that activity remains in the sun. The sun's activity, the fusion activity, is up high in its atmosphere. And there again, standard theory of science says that the nuclear engine is deep down in the core of the sun, so there shouldn't be any of this comet interacting with the sun stuff. But you can see it. It's there. It's visible. Hundreds and hundreds of times we've seen comets come in, interact with the sun, many times at a distance. And there again, NASA and the boys try to minimize this, saying that, well, gee, when the comet hit the sun, at that exact moment there wasn't a flare, so it didn't happen. Well, no. They're doing anything they can to ignore my message. The majority of flaring doesn't occur when the comet hits the sun. It's when the comet is near the sun, because that's where you get that spark plug effect. If you want to look at the cover of my Atlantis to Tesla book, that's one of the most famous comet interactions with the sun. There were two comets that came in. There was a very thin solar prominence that was sticking out. It was fairly active. And one comet came by and it missed that prominence. And the other one came and it went right through the middle of it, and you could see the discharge come out of that comet going away from the sun and the other end going into the sun, and boom! One of the biggest flares ever recorded in history came out of the sun just exactly as that comet went through that prominence. And NASA's going, oh, just coincidence. That was just coincidence. Wasn't that special? Anyway, I'm in a bit of a rare mood tonight because I just am seeing the government message when they start throwing out this kind of level of information or misinformation. It shows that they're running scared because they know that the public is watching. The public is looking for answers, and they don't have answers, so they have to throw something out there. And like I said, the key to this whole thing is now that the government says, okay, we can control weather, implying that they can stop weather. Well, I'll tell you, they can create and manipulate weather and cause it to be bigger, but they can't put the brakes on Mother Nature as it's coming out of the sun. These big, powerful solar storms, and like I said, it's all over the world on a major scale. They cannot stop this. And that's going to be the key. And people are going to be going, well, you said you can control the weather and you're supposed to be stopping all this and it's not happening. They're going to lose face much more than if they hadn't said this at all. But then you got the government scientists on the other hand going, well, gee, this is a big increase in solar activity. And looks like we're having a major solar cycle here. And they're even trying to say what the solar peak is going to come earlier. Well, no, it's going to still come in 2014. But what we're seeing right now is expanded, much higher level of activity than would be expected at this point in the solar cycle. Okay, well, anyway, I got a couple other topics I got to cover on tonight's show. Okay, a topic that we are right now in the Christian season of Lent, and I just want to... say something that's hidden in the scriptures, but not very obvious. When you get to the 13th station of the cross, Joseph of Arimathea goes and he asks Pontius Pilate for the body of Christ. But if you look in the text, and this is in very kind of fine print, but it's there and it's very visible, Joseph of Arimathea, who is the great uncle of Christ, is in a prominent Roman businessman, asked for the body of Christ, but he does it in secret for fear of the Jews. And that is something that I think very interesting. Of course, the modern scripture tries to portray Christ as king of the Jews, but it's very clear that he was an Israelite, and that whole lineage of descendancy is very clear in the Bible. I thought that was one of the most telling things that has remained in the scriptures and is still visible today, that Joseph of Arimathea asked in secret for the body of Christ after the crucifixion, after the death, for fear, and he did it in secret for fear of the Jews. An extremely important topic is the level of radiation in California. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk about this, there's a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey, and you have to read this and understand the implications of this. There was a doctor named Mary Sherman, and by the way, she was at Tulane University before I was there. But anyway, in July of 1964, and she had a tremendous history of working in cancer research. She started out as just a tremendously well-educated person, but she was in cancer research. She was found July 21st, 1964, dead in her apartment in St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans, and was murdered. Her right arm had been cut off. I'm sorry, this is a bit graphic, but she had been stabbed about seven times, I guess. She was burned on the side of her body. They determined that the burning did not occur at the apartment because there was some burn marks on her mattress. No, there was no other burning in the apartment, so they figured out she had been murdered someone else and then put back in her apartment. Her lab assistant was Lee Harvey Oswald, a guy that I think you probably recognize the name. But this, her murder occurred, of course. John Kennedy was killed in November 22nd of 1963. And so this is a situation, but she had worked on cancer research, and one of her areas of research was how to activate viruses using radiation. So this is something that right now, it is very clear that the viruses that were developed by Dr. Mary, and this was all involved the CIA and a lot of other stuff going on at the time, were injected into polio shots that lots of kids took as when they were kids. And so now the radiation coming into California is going to be triggering cancer in millions, tens of millions of people. The level of radiation in California recently measured in seaweed is 5 times above normal, which means that the seaweed is filtering the radiation out of the seawater coming in from Japan. So a good concentration of that is heading into Southern California. So, and I've heard this from medical doctors who have been in California, and they say in the air also, the level of radiation is staggering. And so you're probably not a good place to be these days is Southern California. But also we have a lot of food that is grown there, and this, with the seaweed, this is concentrating into the seaweed, or into the food, and into the food chain. This is not just in Southern California. This is all over the United States. So the point is that the estimates by medical doctors are that have been examining this situation is we are going to have a tremendous cancer rate. And, of course, those storms of radiation storms, that you might call them, are moving through the, especially through the Southern United States, where a lot of food is grown, a lot of down to Texas through that area, but it's being detected all over the United States and not reported. Remember that Canada stopped reporting on the radiation from the Fukushima disaster, and that level of radiation is actually growing over there, and of course the Japanese government is not talking about it. The American institutes that are supposed to be studying this have very bizarre forms of studying it, not what you would do if you were actually studying this radiation disaster. So I'll try and talk about that more on next week's show. Also, I wanted to cover on tonight's show the bottom feeders, the collection agencies in the present economic disaster. A lot of the collection agencies and realtors and attorneys that follow up on the economic disaster, cleaning up the bottom feeding, as I say, off the economic disasters of businesses and personal disasters, financial disasters with the housing collapse, etc., are going out of business because when they get the end of all of their rigmarole and pursuing recovering money for the banks, etc., there's no money to be had. And or if they do get there, the businesses simply go out of business and they get nothing anyway. So I'll be talking more about that next week. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroad. Good night.